The chairman of Birmingham's Central Mosque has been criticised for calling the Prime Minister a liar. The Labour MP, Khalid Mahmood, called for Dr. Mohamed Nassim to resign following his comments at a press conference after the arrest of bomb suspect Yasin Hassan Omar. Dr. Nassim said that the 8 suspects in the 2 London attacks could have been innocent passengers. Dr. Nassim joins us. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Will you be resigning?
No.
What do you think of Mr. Mahmood's call for your resignation then?
Well, he's entitled to his opinion, but he hasn't got a position in the Birmingham Mosque Trust, so he cannot move a motion for my resignation. He can give his advice. Well, that is his prerogative. He has been advised many times to resign, but he hasn't done so. So he's entitled to his opinion, and I'm entitled to mine.
You were asked, I gather, to the press conference yesterday to help gain the trust of the Muslim community. Do you think your comments have been helpful in this end?
Well, I haven't, to the best of my belief, I haven't said something that I thought was unhelpful. I was trying to put the record straight. I was trying to stick by the tradition of the country and how the country should be. We have got a long tradition of democracy and a rule of law, and that's what I think we should uphold.
In what way do you think you have put the record straight?
Well, I have said that we must produce any evidence before a court of law. We must have a clear distinction between the 3 arms of the state, the judiciary, the political power, and the executive. And now that must be maintained, otherwise we'll be turning ourselves into a police state.
No one would disagree with that.
Well, I hope so.
Right. So what else did you say that could have inflamed people?
I don't know why all this hype is about, because all I'm saying is repeatedly that the process of law needs to be independent, open and transparent. I don't think anybody in the country would disagree with that.
Is it true that you said the 8 suspects in the 2 London attacks could have been innocent passengers?
Yes, could have. As long as they are suspects, they are suspects. It is for a court of law to decide whether they were culprits. And it is the duty of the police to produce all evidence before a court of law. It is the duty of police to arrest people whom they suspect on reasonable grounds to have committed a crime. It is the duty of police to gather all the evidence that is in support of a certain happening.
Mm. Again, that is true, except that in four of the cases, the men are dead, and police say explosives were on their beings, and they're sealed.
Yes, that is what the police says, but they have done their duty. Now, it is for the court to decide whether the evidence on which an opinion is based is acceptable in law or not. And the relatives of the people who lost their lives should have the chance to raise questions in a court of law and be represented. Now, that is the proper procedure.
Yes. There can't be a court case against dead people, though.
There can't be a court case, but there can be an inquest. There can be the whole case can be opened up before a court of law. And we can decide about people whether they're guilty or not. It doesn't matter whether they're dead or not. We can't punish them anymore, but we can decide about their guilt.
Yes. Is it true that you said Al-Qaeda doesn't exist?
What I said is that I have no evidence that there is an organization called Al-Qaeda. We in the Muslim world have not known this organization. We have not seen their recruitment process. We have not seen their literature. I'm not the only one who is saying that. People in Pakistan are saying the same thing. Dr. Zaki Badamin a few days ago said the same thing, that he doesn't believe there is an organization called Al-Qaeda.
There is a huge weight of evidence which does say Al-Qaeda exists.
No,
it's not just the CIA, British intelligence, Pakistani intelligence.
Yeah.
Pretty much every reputable terrorist expert, including people like Ahmed Rashid in Pakistan.
Okay. If you dissect that evidence, it is all detected, the intelligence services representing different countries who are getting their cue from CIA, and they are playing the same tune which CIA started.
How do you explain then the claim of responsibility for the London attacks on the 7th of July by the secret organization group of Al-Qaeda, of jihad organization in Europe?
It is not for me to explain anything. It is for a court of law to examine the evidence. I will keep on making that distinction. It is not for individuals. It is not for one arm of the state to decide. We have got a legal system. Why are we bypassing that legal system? If we do that, we are turning the country into a police state.
We're not. Is there evidence in your opinion that we are bypassing that system at this stage?
Pardon?
Is there evidence in your opinion that,
yes, because
that we are bypassing that?
We have not made it clear that any evidence will be produced before a court of law and the accused will have a right to defend themselves. We have not seen this happening. The whole anti-terrorist laws are not allowing that to happen.
That's not true. I mean, there are several...
Please correct me if I'm wrong. Will the accused have a right to defend themselves?
We have several examples of people who have been charged with terrorist offences who have come before a court of law and either been found guilty or not.
Well, if that is the case, then that is how it should be. Mm-hmm. And that I hope and believe that it will continue to happen that way.
Some of what you're saying, relatives of victims of what happened in London on July the 7th, may find it rather insulting.
But I don't know why. I'm sure they will agree that they would like to know the facts. I'm sure they have trust in our legal system. If that is the case, they will not be upset by what I'm saying. They will rather support me.
You stood as a candidate in George Galloway's Respect Party at the general election, and again, MP Khalid Mahmood says that you need to choose between your two roles as chairman of the Central Mosque and your interest in the Respect Party.
Well, he can hold his opinion, but he cannot decide what I have to do. That is my prerogative, not his. I would say that he should resign, and many people have said that he should resign. He has not responded to that call. Why should I? Mm.
And as to the police appeal for help from the public, particularly the Muslim communities, in helping to catch would-be suicide bombers who are still at large, you would encourage that as well, would you?
Absolutely, I would encourage that. We should all cooperate, irrespective of colour or creed, to root out this criminal activity. We are all against crime. We all want the criminals to be apprehended. Now, there is no disagreement on that point.
Thank you very much for talking to us, Dr. Mohammed Nassim, who is the chairman of Birmingham Central Mosque. 10:33, time for the weather here. Does Al-Qaeda exist? The head of the Central Mosque in Birmingham cast doubt on that earlier in this programme. This is Dr. Mohammed Nassim.
I have no evidence that there is an organisation called Al-Qaeda. If you dissect that evidence, it is all the intelligence services representing different countries who are getting their cue from CIA, and they are playing the same tune which CIA started.
Let's talk to two people about this. Gordon Carrera, our security correspondent, and the Daily Telegraph's correspondent in Pakistan, Ahmed Rashid, who's in Lahore. Gordon, is it the invention of intelligence services around the world?
Well, that is one of the conspiracy theories you hear, that Al-Qaeda was somehow created by the CIA in the 1980s as a part of the battle against the Soviet Union, and so, you know, Osama bin Laden was the CIA's man, etc. The history books don't really show that. I mean, the Americans did support the Mujahideen, but not so much the Arabs like Osama bin Laden, and so I think there's a lot of confusion over this, and there's a lot of confusion about exactly what Al-Qaeda means, and whether it's an ideology or whether it's a cohesive organisation and how coherent it is. But I think very few people would say it doesn't exist. Quite what it is, that's a different matter.
Mm. Ahmed, do you believe it exists? Is there enough evidence to show us it does exist?
Oh, certainly it does exist. I mean, I think, you know, these claims are really quite absurd. They have been made quite a lot by clerics in the Muslim world, not just in England, but also in Pakistan and in East Africa and in other places. Initially after 9/11, if you remember, there were claims that 9/11 was carried out by the CIA and by the Israeli Secret Service. It was not carried out by Al-Qaeda. Subsequently, some clerics in Pakistan and other places have said that the London bombings were carried out by MI5 and they're to discredit Muslims. They have not been carried out by Al-Qaeda. Now, I think, you know, I think subsequently, post 9/11, the fact that we've seen, you know, these clerics have seen tapes of Osama bin Laden claiming credit for 9/11 in 2002-2003. All this really hasn't softened the edge of this argument, unfortunately.
Gordon, does it after 9/11, post 9/11, is there any real central organisation structure?
Well, that's the big question, and I think that's actually an open question. It's an important question as well, because there's no doubt the Al-Qaeda leadership came under huge pressure after September the 11th with the invasion of Afghanistan, with the killing or rounding up of a number of senior leaders, but not all of them, and obviously not the top guy, Osama bin Laden. But so the model had become, well, Al-Qaeda's under pressure, there's no organisation left able to do anything, it just works through its ideology, influencing other people who then do things in its name. But I still think it's an open question as to whether there is something left in Pakistan and Afghanistan which is able to do something and which is able to at least send out orders and instructions. That's what the intelligence services are trying to trace with the London bombings, whether there was any kind of link and operational instruction. And the truth is, there may be, but no one's proved one yet. But it's definitely the model of it being just an ideology, I think, is maybe too simple. There is something there, but quite what it is, we're not sure about.
I mean, Ahmed, what do you think? Is it now just a brand name or an umbrella name, if I can put it like that, or do you think that it's harder than that?
Well, you know, I certainly think the ideology has spread far and wide since 9/11, and clearly Al-Qaeda and bin Laden have been very successful in that. But I would also, you know, go along with what Gordon has said, that I think there are second-level, third-level members of Al-Qaeda who may not be reporting directly to bin Laden, or they may just be thinking that they're part of Al-Qaeda, but they are people who are able to authorize other groups abroad to carry out bombings, perhaps to give them training in explosives, perhaps to give them, you know, other kinds of training. So clearly there is still an infrastructure, and, you know, I mean, the Americans keep saying, well, we've captured or killed 75% of Al-Qaeda's leadership. But the fact is that this Al-Qaeda leadership we know is being replicated, in the sense that the people who are captured and killed, you know, are being replaced by perhaps lesser people, but people who are still part of that hierarchy.
Right. Morris at Enfield. Hello, Morris.
Oh, hi.
Yes.
Hi. Yeah, very interested to hear what Gordon Carrera had to say there, because I think if he looks at paragraph 2 on page 132 of Ahmed's very good book about the Taliban, you'll find that bin Laden himself said that he settled in Pakistan in the Afghan border region, where he received volunteers from all over the Arab and Muslim world, and that, in fact, the people volunteers there were trained by Pakistani and American officers. The weapons were supplied.
But when was that?
This was back in about 1986, and this is in Ahmed's own book.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'd be interested to see what Ahmed said. I mean, yeah, my understanding of it, though, is that the Saudis, for instance, and the Pakistanis work quite closely with bin Laden, but the Americans tended to work, if anyway, there would be an indirect link, not a kind of direct flow of funds or money to him. May ended up with him through other groups and individuals, but not a kind of direct relationship, the way some people say that he was their kind of creature.
Yeah, but I'm interested in the fact that both the power of nightmares that you've had on the BBC, and even Frank Gardner, I've heard in the past, referring to Al-Qaeda as a franchise, and I understand that it is a very, very complicated issue. But it did make me wonder if Al-Qaeda as a top-down organisation, with bin Laden at the top and with a loyal army of recruits all running around doing his bidding, existed, why is it that the RICO indictment against him in 2001 for the bombings in Kenya and Tanzania was only done in 2001, and why wasn't it done for the World Trade Center bombing that clearly he was involved with in 1993? Because in fact, in the New York Times, 28th October 1993, page A1, in an article by Ralph Blumenthal, he actually refers to an informant inside that controlled by the FBI called Emad Salem, a 43-year-old Egyptian former army officer, who, and it actually says, was used by the government of the United States to penetrate a circle of Muslim extremists. It doesn't even refer to Al-Qaeda anywhere in that particular article on that particular day. So I think it's just interesting. Like you say, it does sound like a conspiracy theory, but if you could use the RICO statutes to basically break the mafia in places like Chicago and various other places in America, then why wasn't it used then in 1993 with a joint indictment to indict Bin Laden?
Let Gordon ask.
Well, I think because the 1993 World Trade Center attack, the links into Bin Laden are much looser and less direct than the 1998 embassy bombings. They're there indirectly, but not nearly as strong in the same way as the embassy bombings. So I think there was a shift there in the 90s.
Mm. And this text here, I mean, again, it's, you may say this is part of the conspiracy theories. It's Mohammed in London. He says, the United States is trying to manipulate voters. Now that there is no communism, the target is Al-Qaeda.
Well, I mean, I think the way in which the American administration uses the threat is a valid subject of debate, and how they talk about it and the way it's used in elections and politically. But that's different from saying the threat doesn't exist in the first place. Yeah. There's a big distinction between whether it exists and how it's used.
Thank you very much, Gordon Carrera, our security correspondent. Thank you too to Ahmed Rashid, the Daily Telegraph's correspondent in Pakistan. And thank you to you for listening this morning. Do join us again tomorrow for the phone-in from 9 o'clock, the midday news.